Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to this, the fifth midweek worship service here during this holy season of Lent. We also welcome our friends who are listening or watching online. And a reminder, as always, you can go to our website, chapelofthecross.org, and there you will find, under the Resources tab, a place where you can download the bulletin so you can follow along with this service. Also, there is a tab there, the Give tab, where you can give your offering to the church. Today we continue our theme for these Lenten services, focusing on the places of the Passion. We are getting closer and closer to Calvary and to the cross as we go with Jesus today to the courtyard of the high priest. God's blessings to you today as we worship. We begin by listening to our opening hymn, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. If you're using your hymnal at home, that hymn is hymn number 435 in Lutheran Service Book. Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us ever walk with Jesus to see the depths of his love, to behold the gift of his forgiveness, to gaze upon the heights of his grace, to marvel at the magnitude of his mercy. We follow Jesus to the courtyard. It belongs to the high priest Caiaphas, but Peter is there, and so are others. Peter denies Jesus three times, yet still there is mercy and forgiveness. God's grace is amazing. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. Gracious and most merciful Father, in the light of your holiness, I see myself as I really am, I am guilty. I confess that I have impure thoughts and unclean lips. I often think too highly of myself and too little of others. I cling too tightly to the treasures of this world that I cannot open my hands to receive blessings from you. My feet at times walk in the path of sin. I wander astray and become a stranger to righteousness. Forgive me and set me again on the path that leads to life. Deal with me not as I deserve, but according to your mercy. Not because I am worthy, but because you are gracious. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hear the good news. Jesus walked to the places of rejection, suffering, torment, and death for you. Jesus was determined to go to the courtyard, Gabbatha, and Golgotha for you. That is why Jesus forgives you completely and loves you eternally. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide.
Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here are since by death he conquered death. He will free us from destruction, give to us immortal breath. Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin, and the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. Jesus, here with you I die, there to live with you on high.
Merciful and mighty Father, like Peter, we can make great boasts. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. When we fail and fall and get lost in guilt, restore to us the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from James, the second chapter. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a problem, and it's a huge problem at that. We all face it. We all battle it. We all fall into it. It's the G word, guilt. So we try to deal with it, and others will try to help, usually for a fee. Guilty about eating that donut? No worries. Go to the website for Keto Mini Donuts in Harlington, Texas, for some guilt-free donuts. They specialize in donuts that are exceedingly small. Each donut is calculated to be only one carbohydrate. No sugar, and of course, they're gluten-free. Want a fast car, but you feel guilty about the carbon footprint? No worries. You can pick up a McLaren hybrid that goes from 0 to 60 miles an hour in less than 3 seconds. You can pick one up today for a mere $258,000. Oh, but what if guilt can't be lifted so simply as buying mini donuts or dropping $250,000 on a fast car? Guilt can sit on your chest like an anchor from a battleship. If guilt weighs heavy enough on your heart, it can cause you to feel sick. Nowhere on this planet is there a person who has never known guilt, remorse, or sorrow for something they did or for something they didn't do. you think you failed as a parent or a spouse. It could be something as simple as striking out in an important baseball game and costing the team a championship. There are so many situations that produce the fruit of guilt. In our walk with Jesus today, we find ourselves at the courtyard of the high priest, Caiaphas. It is also in Caiaphas' courtyard where we see Peter strike out after bragging he was going to hit a home run. For context, we need to look back a few hours and go back to the Mount of Olives. Peter calls his home run. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus tells Peter that he is not going to hit a home run, and in fact, he's going to strike out in a horrible manner. Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter, still believing he's going to be victorious, ups the ante. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Now, Jesus and Peter have been through a lot together. It was 3 years ago that Peter saw that it was 3 years ago that Jesus saw Peter and Andrew fishing and called them to be fishers of men. They followed Jesus. A year later, we find Jesus and Peter at the Sea of Galilee during a storm, and Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water to Jesus. But his lack of faith causes Peter to sink. Jesus reaches out his hand and he lifts Peter up. And just a few weeks ago, Jesus takes Peter, along with John and James, to witness his transfiguration and hear the voice of God and see Moses and Elijah. Can you really blame Peter for believing that he's going to hit a home run? When Peter says, "I will never fall away, Lord," what we're hearing is a beautiful confession of faith. And we make confessions ourselves, don't we? Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed remain true to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death? Of course we do. This is the question we hear during the rite of confirmation. And we all answered, "I do intend with the help of God." And this is a beautiful confession of faith as well. But sometimes we can become a little overconfident, thinking that our faith is our doing, our work, our effort. We all make claims of producing home runs as if we control the situation. We now return to the courtyard with Peter at the plate. And what Peter doesn't know that is in Jerusalem this night, the greatest spiritual battle of all times is taking place. For those of us who are in the military, this is called collateral damage, and it's always a danger to those not involved in the battle. And this includes us and our spiritual lives as well. Because as disciples of Jesus, Satan still wants us and will use our weaknesses, be it overconfidence and faith, by believing you are contributing to your faith, or a weak faith due to lack of worship and hearing the word of God. But when we walk around as if we have already won the game, we are begging to fail, just as Peter is about to learn. The first servant girl throws a changeup. The servant girl approaches Peter and states, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean." Peter, completely unaware of the danger he is now in, states, "I do not know what you mean." On the surface, it may seem as if Peter didn't understand the question. This is a denial of the fact that Peter is with Jesus. Peter is doing what we now call spinning an answer. In other words, Peter evaded the answer. Peter denied publicly that he knows Jesus. Strike one. Maybe Peter was caught off guard. Or maybe he was afraid. And that's why he said what he said. Regardless, Peter moved to another location in the courtyard to get away from accusing questions. But even though Peter moved further away, another girl notices. And she announces to everyone around her that this one was with Jesus the Nazarene. A curveball. But Peter still misses the opportunity to profess his faith and loyalty to Jesus. Peter's answers is even darker than the first. And instead of saying, I do not know the man, instead of saying, I do not know what you're talking about, he instead says, I don't know the man. Plus, Peter now includes an oath in his denial. There is an irony to this because the crowd, and more importantly, Peter, don't really know who Jesus is. So Peter did not totally lie in saying he did not know the man. He does not really know about Jesus or why he is letting what's happening to him occur. But he did lie in his confession of knowing Jesus. Strike two. Peter is down to his last strike, and it's a fastball. Instead of an individual, it is now a group that confronts Peter and remarks, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Peter's accent identifies the region he is from. Peter is a representative of the disciples. He was with Jesus. What the crowd is saying is simply this. You talk like a Galilean, we recognize your accent, and we are positive. We have seen you with Jesus. Matthew wants us to hear these words. Your words tell what your heart feels. Peter responds by not only denying Jesus, Peter also invokes a curse upon himself, condemning himself with a Greek word, anathematai, which means to eternally condemn. Paul uses the same word in Galatians. If anyone preaches a different gospel to you, let him be anathematized, eternally condemned. And just as Peter finishes his words, the rooster crows. So for his final strike, Peter tells the crowd that he would rather be condemned to eternity than admit he was with Jesus. This is a far cry from, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And Peter remembers the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. The realization we are not in control, but have also bitterly failed because we thought we were in control. The G word, guilt, now makes itself present. We have our turns at bat and strike out as well. It happens when we say, oh, just one more drink. Or it was just a little white lie. We never see the pitch coming. And when we hear the word strike three, guilt makes its presence known. We've been caught, humiliated and guilty, and we try to fix the problem. We deny the sin. Pretend the sin didn't happen. Spin a lie. And spin another lie to cover the first lie. We minimize sin by saying, we lost our way. This statement is true, but not the way we meant it. Or we redirect and take our guilt out on our spouse or on our children. Or we blame someone else. The devil made me do it. Or, fill in the blank, had not done this, I would not have committed this sin. Guilt, huge problem. We all face it. We all battle it. And we all fall into it. But what do we do about it? There's another G word that both Peter and we sometimes forget. That's right, grace, the ultimate G word. If sin's guilt sucks the life from us, the grace of God through Jesus gives us life and another opportunity to serve him. Grace begins with confession. Peter went out and wept bitterly. And while Peter confessed his guilt, his Savior hours later would hang on a tree and suffer, not just for Peter. No, not just Peter's sins, but the whole world's sins. Jesus does not wait for us to become like him because he knows we can't. But with Jesus, we have through grace the ability of coming back. Our Lord and Savior is about grace and mercy. And while Jesus would have had every right to get new disciples, he knows with his grace and love they can be so much more. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared before the disciples, and he fed them both physically and spiritually. And after eating breakfast, Jesus shows Peter and the disciples the power of the other G word, grace. Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of God, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter again answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus tells Peter, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And now Peter understands. Peter denied his Lord and Savior three times in the courtyard. Peter knows there is nothing that Jesus does not know about him and us as well. Jesus used a threefold questioning to give Peter the absolution that he truly needed. Not because Peter worked for grace, nor did Peter deserve grace. He received the ultimate G word because of Christ's love for Peter. And this is true for us as well. When we confess our sins, both known and unknown, Jesus' blood makes us pure again, ready to stand before the Father on his Son's work, ready for a comeback, to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep. This is our commission as well. And what a comeback Peter has when Christ sends the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It is Peter who gives the first gospel proclamation. It is Peter whom the Spirit works to convert 3,000 people. It is Peter who wrote two epistles in Scripture. And it is Peter who, in the end, according to tradition, was crucified upside down by Nero, faithful to the end. A home run. Because of grace, Peter is restored and forgiven. Comebacks do not depend upon us giving our lives for Jesus. We have comebacks because Jesus gave his life for us. When Jesus is in our story, it is not over until he comes for us. And on that day, we will have all that home run. We will have that home run that has eluded us in this life. Christ has already hit the home run for us, so that all we need to do is believe. Christ's grace, the best G word ever. Amen. We rise and sing our hymn of praise. We sing the praise of him who died, which is on page 8 of your bulletin.
We sing the praise.
Onward in Christ's footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above, full of faith and hope and love, let us do the Father's bidding. And so we pray. Gracious Father, we stand in awe and wonder at your abounding grace, which you've lavished on us through your Son, Jesus. That's why we celebrate where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Gracious Father, in Peter's failure, we see our own failure and sin. Too often we are spiritually dead, living in the reign of sin and death. But now, through Jesus, you make us alive and children of your great affection and grace. We delight to say, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Gracious Father, as lost as we get in guilt, so much more do you restore us in grace, amazing, life-changing, overflowing grace. Grace planned for Jesus to be arrested, tried, condemned, crucified, buried, and risen for us. That's why we are eternally grateful, because where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Indeed, gracious Father, this gospel shows us how fervently for us you really are. You did not spare your own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will you not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Jesus, let me faithful be. Life eternal grant to me. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus invites us to walk with him to the high priest's courtyard, a place of great suffering and a place of great love. We will walk with Jesus all the way to the empty tomb and resurrection victory. Let us ever walk with Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Sinking sand.
with trumpet sound, O man.